have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Hope you're all having a great weekend. Boy, tonight do we have two fantastic mysteries for you. You've always heard of Ozzie and Harriet. They were a longtime comedy series, David and Ricky, Ozzie and Harriet. Well, tonight we're going to hear the same actors, Ozzie and Harriet, but they're going to be in a really fantastic mystery that was put on for the suspense episode stream, World War II. I think you'll really enjoy it. And then we're going to listen to a fantastic episode of The Whistler. If you have any questions for me or any type of programs you'd like to hear from the World War II or early 50s genre, just don't hesitate to write to bruce@radiomasterpieces.com and I'll be sure and try to put on the air what you want to listen to. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now let's enjoy our great shows.
Mr. Ozzie Nelson and Miss Harriet Hilliard in Too Little to Live On by Robert Richards, a play well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Doesn't matter now. How do you think anything could matter any more to me now? You should have let me die. That was the best way. That's all that matters to me now is that I want to die. That's all I care about. Being dead. I don't know whether we ever thought about it before this morning or not. It might have crossed our minds sometime, one or the other of us, I don't know. But we never talked about it, never. Never before this morning. And then this morning, everything just seemed to come to a head. Every little thing that had happened all those months and years just seemed to pile up at once. It just seemed as though this morning was the last straw.
Hi, honey.
Hello, darling. Your breakfast is there keeping warm on the back of the stove. I'd get it for you, but I'm already late with his.
That's all right.
You better hurry, though.
I'm not going to the office today.
You're not?
He wants me to stick around. His lawyer's coming over sometime today.
His lawyer?
Yeah, don't you remember?
I guess I forgot.
Yeah, his lawyer's coming over, so I have to stick around the house all day.
Couldn't you go over to the office and come back?
No, that's not the way he wants it. He says the lawyer's coming, but he doesn't know when. At least that's his story.
Well, maybe he really doesn't know.
Oh, he knows all right. Not that it matters much. I don't have any appointments today anyway. People around here wouldn't have their teeth fixed if you paid them to.
Well, they can't help it if they're poor, Dave.
I didn't say they could. I just said they can't afford to go to the dentist. I'm the dentist they can't afford to go to.
I know. Oh, darling, if we could only move to another neighborhood, then at least you could start building a decent practice.
Sure, how? With what?
I know.
With Uncle Ed's money, when we get it. At least that's what we've been telling ourselves the last 3 years.
Well, couldn't we talk to him? Couldn't we make
him see it? He likes to see us have it tough. Likes to have us dependent on that money. That's all he lives for, and he'll probably live to be 100.
Well, we've just got to be patient, Dave. Oh, there he is. He's up. I've got to hurry.
I think at least he'd spend enough dough to have some decent tires put on that wheelchair of his so it wouldn't bump around over our heads like a 10-ton truck day and night.
Well, I suppose we ought to be thankful he doesn't spend his money. In a way.
You seen him this morning?
Uh-huh.
How's he feeling?
About the same, I guess. He made me bring his lemon juice and water down and heat it up again. Said it wasn't hot enough. Willie almost bit me again.
Yeah, that mutt.
Well, dog's getting old. I suppose he can't help it. Any more than Uncle Ed.
They could both help it. He wants it that way. He gets a kick out of it. Now it's got so we even have to kowtow to a snarling little mutt. He sits there and laughs.
We've just got to be patient, Dave.
One thing, when we get that $30,000, we sure will have earned it.
Dave?
Yeah?
What about the lawyer?
What about it?
I mean, what do you suppose it means?
What should it mean? He's always getting that guy over here every 3 or 4 months and going into some kind of a huddle.
But why should he want you here?
He probably needs us both as witnesses to something.
You know, he's been talking an awful lot lately about that orphanage over in Brooklyn.
Sure, and last winter all he could talk about was some foundling home for stray dogs down in Pennsylvania. He's just cracking the whip, that's all, to see us jump.
Oh, Dave, if he was to change his will now after all we've been through...
Oh, don't worry, he won't.
Oh, there he goes. He's something for his breakfast. Coming right up, Uncle Ed! Let's see. I hope his eggs are right. Get the coffee off the back of the stove, darling, while I get a cup.
Okay. Take it easy. It's all right, honey. It's only a cup.
I know. Sometimes it makes me so nervous, I feel as though I'm going crazy.
Take it easy, dear. Here, let me get this ready.
No, I'm all right now. There's a pan of milk warming on the stove. Fill this bowl about half full and break up a handful of those little dog biscuits in it.
Okay.
Sugar, salt, pepper, cream. All right, come on. Open the door for me, will you, darling?
Here, I'll carry the tray.
No, he likes to have me bring it.
What's the difference?
Oh, don't ask me, Dave. Oh, the paper for him. Oh, you've got it.
Well, I haven't read the paper yet myself.
Shh. You can read it later. Come on. Here's your breakfast, Uncle Ed.
All right.
I'm sorry I was a little late.
Well, set it down. I heard what you said about the paper, David. If it's getting so, you even begrudge a little thing like that to a helpless invalid.
No, I don't begrudge it, Uncle Ed. Here's your paper.
So important for you to read the paper, why don't you subscribe for two of them?
I'm afraid the budget in this family won't stand for little luxuries like that.
Ah, when I was your age, I had my first $1,000 in the bank.
Well, things were a little different in those days, Uncle Ed.
I was a little different. That's what the difference was. All right, set Willie's breakfast down for him, Myra. No, no, not there. Over by his bed where he can get at it.
Yes, Uncle Ed. I'm afraid Willie doesn't like me anymore.
Here, I'll give it to him.
Hey, stop that! You dare strike that dog, David!
I wasn't going to hit him. I just want him to let go of my sleeve.
Poor Willie. Oh. Well, if Meyer would take him out once in a while, he wouldn't feel that way.
I take him out any time you ask me to, Uncle.
I forget sometimes. You want to do it without my asking. Well, you can go now. I know you don't want to stay any longer than you have to. Oh, Myra, hand me my glasses on the bureau.
Glasses? Yes, Uncle Ed. Here.
Oh, what, Myra, you fool!
Oh, Uncle Ed, I'm so sorry. Maybe I can mend them.
Of course you can't mend them. They're broken, you idiot.
Don't talk to her like that.
What's that?
I said don't talk to her like that.
Dave, please.
Oh, I see. Now you're trying to bully me. A helpless old man in a wheelchair. Well, I won't stand for it.
Uncle Ed, he didn't mean anything.
I made my bargain with you, David, and I intend to keep it, as long as you do. I've never complained about the care you've given me, although heaven knows it's been little enough. But don't think for a minute I'll stand for anything like this.
I'm sorry, Uncle Ed.
I'm afraid that's scarcely enough.
Well, it won't happen again. Look, I'll get the glasses fixed. I know a guy that can do it right away.
Probably take a week, and in the meantime, I'll be as blind as a bat. And don't expect me to pay for it.
No, don't worry. I'll pay for it. You'll have him back tonight.
Hmm. Oh, this reminds me, David. Be sure that you're here when my lawyer comes today.
I'll be here. That's why I stayed home from the office.
Well, that's all for now. Oh, and I suppose neither of you's taken the trouble lately to find out which of my prescriptions need refilling.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking of that yesterday.
Oh, were you? Well, let's do it now. Bismuth's entirely gone. Look, entirely gone. You better get another bottle of iron tonic. Let's see, the drops. Yeah, that's all right for now. And the thiocyanate. You better get that refilled, too, while you're at it. Take the bottle and the bismuth, too.
I'll go right away, Uncle Ed.
Yes, you do, and you come right back. You know that I must have my bismuth not later than 20 minutes after each meal.
Yes, I know. Come on, Myra. I hate myself. Oh, take it easy, dear. It's all right. It's all right now.
Oh, Dave, I've died. I've tried, but I can't go on like this.
Oh, take it easy, honey. It won't be much longer.
Well, we've been saying that for 3 years. We're like prisoners. We can't go out of the house together because somebody has to be with him. We can't have friends in because they disturb him. Oh, Dave, we can't even have a baby.
I could kill him. Sometimes I could kill him.
Dave, don't.
I mean it. When I see what he's doing to you, when I see him making a slave out of you, making a nervous wreck out of you so you can't even call your soul your own.
No, no, Dave, please. Please, I'm all right now.
Sure, we made a bargain, like he said. Not this kind of a bargain.
Oh, darling, I know it's just as bad for you as it is for me. It's just that I'm here alone with him all day. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have let myself go that
way. Oh, I hate myself, Myra. If I'd known I was going to be like this.
It's not your fault, darling. I knew what we were doing.
I'm not even a man anymore. I let him sit there and say things to my wife that a man wouldn't take from anybody on earth, but I take it. I take it and smile.
Oh, Dave, Dave, it's not your fault.
Oh, it is my fault. If I was any kind of a man, I'd do something about
well,
it.
Well, there's nothing to do, don't you see? I should never have acted like this. We've just got to be patient and wait, that's all.
Wait. Maybe another 3 years, maybe 10 more years.
Oh, honey.
Oh, what's the use of kidding ourselves? We know how long it's going to take him to die. Sometimes I don't even think he's sick. Sometimes I think he's just putting it on to make us wait on him.
But the doctor says...
He could fool the doctors. It's been done. Even when he does die, how can we ever be sure?
Dave, you don't...
I think he's just that mean, yes. Snatch the money away at the last minute and die laughing at us.
But he said it was a bargain. He said he
You
promised.
Think promises mean anything to him?
Well, could he do it without, I mean, with...
Do what?
Change his will?
Well, sure he could do it anytime he wanted to.
Without even telling us?
Nothing that says he has to tell us anything.
Oh, Dave, the lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
Today. Why does he have to come today of all days? After I broke his glasses and you hollered at him?
Yeah, I know.
Could he do it just like that today?
Sure. do it today. He could do it any time. We'd never know until he told us.
Oh, he wouldn't. He couldn't.
Why not? He might just as well do it anyway. He'll hold it over us in the last minute like he did just now. So we probably die of heart failure before he does.
But you said just a few minutes ago.
I know. I've been kidding myself for 3 years, but not anymore.
Well, Dave, what are we going to do? What can we do?
I don't know, Myra. I don't know. Yet?
If only something could happen.
Like what? Nothing's going to happen, Myra. Unless we make it happen.
Dave, we couldn't.
Well, we can't go on like this either.
We could tell him to
and
go.
And throw away 3 years of our lives? The 3 years we've rotted in this dump? We've earned that money. $10,000 a year isn't half enough for what we've gone
Dave,
through.
Dave, I don't care about
well,
the money.
Well, I do. Anybody but him, I'd feel different. I'm having more feeling about him than I do that dog up there.
Dave, you don't really mean...
I don't know what I mean. Listen, I've got to go over to the drugstore and get his medicine.
All right. Hurry back.
I'll only be a minute. It's just across the street.
Dave.
Yeah?
What about the lawyer?
What about him?
What if he should come now?
Yeah, well, keep an eye out for him.
But what if he comes?
I don't know. I've got to think. Stall him off. Tell him something.
What should I tell him?
Tell him the old man's sick. He can't see him.
Sick?
Yeah, sick.
All right, Dave. Oh, Dave, have you got his glasses?
Yeah, I'll give them to Mr. Herman at the drugstore. He knows an oculist right here in the neighborhood. He wouldn't mind sending them over.
All right, hurry.
Well, good morning, Dr. O'Connor.
Oh, good morning, Clancy.
Taking the day off today?
Yeah, that's right. Take it easy.
Say, how's the old gentleman this morning?
Oh, he's all right.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, He's a fine old man.
Hello, Mr. Herman.
Well, Dr. O'Connor, you come for your regular batch of medicines, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
How is Mr. O'Connor? Better, I hope.
Well, I'm afraid he's been having a little pain lately.
Oh, that's too bad. He's such a courageous old man, so cheerful.
Yes.
Every time I go by and he's sitting up there by his window, he waves. Always he sends his little remembrance at Christmas. Yes, your uncle is a real gentleman.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what will it be today?
Oh, the iron tonic. Bismuth, 100 tablets. And refill the thiocyanate prescription. Here, I brought the bottle.
All right, I'll get it for you right away. You got a prescription for the thiocyanate, a new one?
No, but I'll sign it.
Oh, sure, that's right, you can sign it. You know how it is, Doctor, we got to be careful of these things.
You better give me the big tablets this time.
Sure thing. You reach just over the counter there, you'll find the prescription blank. Just below there. You got it?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
There we are.
But don't bother wrapping.
All right. Let's see, that's 487.
487. Here, I got it even. Oh, and say, Mr. Herman, I wonder if you could do me a little favor.
Why, surely anything, Doctor.
My uncle broke his glasses this morning.
Oh, say, that's too bad.
Yeah, he's almost helpless without them.
Yeah, that's right. I know he is.
Yeah, and I wonder if you could send him around to a good oculist in the neighborhood.
Why, sure I could. No trouble at all.
I'd go myself, but... Well, he's not feeling too well this morning, and I ought to get right back. Whatever the bill is, you know I'm good for it.
Don't you worry about that. Why, sure, I'll do that right away for you, Dr. O'Connor.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Thank you, Dr. O'Connor.
Give the old gentleman my best, Doctor.
Sure, I will.
Dave?
Yeah, the lawyer come?
No, did you get the glasses?
Yeah, I gave them to Mr. Herman. Come on in the kitchen. I got the medicine, Myra.
Oh?
Myra, you know what these things are that he's been taking?
No, not exactly.
Well, this is bismuth. Stuff he takes after each meal. 3 or 4 of them. The stuff he's due to take right now.
Dave.
Now, wait a minute. These are thiocyanate. He only takes these once in a while for his heart. Just one of them. Bless that. One, because I got bigger tablets this time.
Dave, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say, if he took 3 or 4 of these, instead of his bismuth, by mistake, It'd kill him.
Dave, no.
By mistake, I say.
It couldn't be.
Yes, it could. Look at the tablets. Can you tell them apart?
Hardly.
If they were in the wrong bottle.
But afterwards, they know if they're in the wrong bottle, they'd know that somebody...
No, he'd think it was all right from the shape. Afterwards, we'd put him back in the right bottle.
Well, then they'd know it couldn't be a mistake. They'd know he could read right on the bottle from the label.
No, they wouldn't. They'd know he couldn't read the label. They'd know he couldn't read anything.
His glasses.
Right, his glasses. And the oculist would have to swear to it.
Dave, are you sure... Are you sure he can't see?
He's blind as a bat without him. That much I know is real.
But Dave...
Don't you see? It's the only way, Myra. The chance of a lifetime. No tampering with anything. No changing labels so they could analyze glue if they got suspicious. None of that.
I know, but...
And don't forget his lawyer's coming today.
Well, couldn't we just tell him to go?
What about the money?
Oh, Dave, I can't think. The front door.
That must be the lawyer now. Yeah, it is. I can see him standing outside.
What should we do?
Get rid of him.
Well, hurry, before he rings again. He might hear us.
What'll I tell him?
Well, what you told me to tell him, that... He's had a bad turn. We're calling the doctor. And then if he asks any questions any time, we could say it was...
Yeah. All right. Good morning, Mr. Eldridge.
Well, how do you do, Dr. O'Connor?
I'm sorry you had to come way out here, but my uncle has had sort of a bad turn.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Nothing serious.
No, we're calling the doctor. I don't think it's anything serious, Mr. Eldridge. I don't see how it could be.
Why, no.
But he was wondering if you could come back some other day.
Oh, I see. Well, it's just a matter of his signature on a document.
Yeah, well, I'm really afraid he isn't up to it, Mr. Eldridge.
I see. Well, perhaps I could phone him later in the day.
I could
phone him. There'd be no objection to that, would there?
No. But if there's any message, I could give it to him later.
Yes, well, you might say that I've made the changes that he requested. He'll know what I mean.
All right, I'll do that, and thank you, Mr. Eldridge.
Thank you, Doctor. And good day, sir.
Goodbye.
Has he gone?
Yeah.
Did he?
No, it was all right.
What is it, Dave? Did he say anything?
Oh, he said that he'd made the changes, whatever they were, and that he'd understand. He said that all he wanted was his signature on some document.
His will?
He didn't say that.
Oh.
Now or never, Myra.
Oh, Dave, let me just think. Just for a minute.
Come on, what about it?
Yes. All right.
Here are the two bottles. Come on now.
Oh, Dave, no.
You've got to come.
Why?
Because you have.
All right.
You don't have to say anything.
All right.
Yeah. Did I hear someone at the front door?
No, there hasn't been anyone here. Has there, Myra?
No.
Oh, I thought it might have been Mr. Eldridge.
Here, I got your medicine.
Well, you took long enough about it.
I'll put it over here by the bed where you can get it.
Well, what do you want, Myra?
I just came to get your tray. Didn't Willie like his breakfast?
Oh, it was too hot, of course. I'll give it to him now.
Have you got water for your pills?
Yes. What about my glasses?
Oh, they'll be ready this evening.
Oh, all right. You show Mr. Eldridge up here the minute he arrives.
Yes, I will, Uncle Ed. Yes. Want me to take the tray?
No. I got it. Oh, Dave, how could we?
Use that. It's done now.
It's horrible. Don't you realize that we're... But it's...
Murder? All right, it is, and I'm glad.
Dave, don't say that.
What's the difference what you call it? It was the only thing to do. It's even better for him this way.
David, I'm afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Listen.
Yeah. He's wheeled himself over to take his pills.
Dave, does it... Will it take long?
At his age, and if his heart is anything like what the doctor says it is, no.
Is it...
Painful? No. Like a heart attack, that's all.
What was that?
He must have fallen.
Then he...
Yeah. A minute anyway.
We ought to go up.
No, wait a minute.
But the bottles...
There's plenty of time.
Shouldn't you wear gloves or something?
No, I thought it. It'd look funnier if there weren't any fingerprints.
David, we ought to go up. Even if... I mean, it would look better.
All
right.
You'll have to call the doctor.
We'll have to anyway, either way.
I suppose.
Don't worry. It won't be like that.
The wheelchair's empty.
He's not here. Quick, work in the closet.
No. Under the bed. Dave. Look, Willie.
He's dead. The dog is dead, Myra.
But how?
There's a note on the chair. Oh.
What? Dave, what is it?
It's from him. It says, my dear, dear niece and nephew, the thing has at last occurred which I have always known would someday inevitably occur. Poor little Willie has given his life to save mine.
Oh.
It may interest you to know that from my window I saw Mr. Eldridge leaving the house. I also suspect that the incident of breaking my glasses was not quite an accident. And so, my dear children, I have gone to the police. And the little bottles with their transposed contents are in my pocket as final and conclusive evidence of your murderous intent. Fortunately, I have never been quite as helpless as I allowed you to believe, and have in fact conserved my strength for precisely such an emergency, a circumstance to which it now appears I owe my life. For your further information, Mr. Eldridge was not coming to change my will. Now my would-be heirs and assigns, a fond farewell. I will see you in court. Your loving Uncle Ed. P.S. Did you hear my body fall? I thought you would like that. I did.
How could he have gotten out?
Oh, down the front stairs while we were...
You said he couldn't read the label.
He didn't. Tried it on the dog.
What can he do?
Attempted murder. 20 years to life.
But would they believe...
They'd believe what everybody else believes. A fine old gentleman.
Why?
There it is.
David.
Yes.
Are there any more?
What?
The pills?
Myra.
There isn't anything else to do, is there, Dave?
No. I guess not.
Are there more? Enough?
Yes. Of the little ones in my pocket.
These?
Yeah.
How many?
Oh, half a dozen.
You said it didn't hurt.
No. Not much.
Oh, David, I did so want to have children. The door.
Look out the window. See who it is.
Oh, Dave, I'm afraid.
What's there to be afraid of now?
Couldn't we go away somewhere, some other country?
With what? It's probably the police now.
David, here.
You'd better go down and tell them something, anything, just so they'll leave us alone. Give us some time.
Yes, all right.
Myra.
Yes.
Goodbye, darling.
No, wait.
Go on.
Goodbye. Yes, officer?
Good evening, Mrs. O'Connor. I'm sorry, but...
Yes, Clancy, I know.
I'm afraid you don't, ma'am. I've got some bad news for you, Mrs. O'Connor, about your uncle.
Yes, Clancy, yes.
I don't know how he could have got out there, but he was just hit by a car.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. He's dead.
Dead?
Yes.
Dead. David! David! That's all. I tried, but they stopped me. David had died before I got there. That's all.
I just wanted to have children. I wish I was dead.
Valley 103.1.
And now the Whistler's strange story, Masquerade. There was a strange, tense silence in the room, broken only occasionally by the sound of the whirring roulette tables downstairs and the muffled cries of the croupiers. Sam Baxter was serious this time. Deadly serious. Irene could tell it by the nervous habit he had of blinking his eyes, cold, gray, heartless eyes, stabbing at her now as she sat in the chair across the room. It was like Sam, she told herself, to tackle it this way. To sit there quietly for minutes on end and let the silence work for him. She was almost ready to scream when he finally spoke.
Been putting, hitting it pretty lucky, Irene. How much you win tonight?
Go ask your cashier.
I hate to see that. Gambling's an awful vice. Don't want to encourage you.
I've made a pretty good living at it. I got no complaints.
From now on, you can make your living somewhere else.
What does that mean?
It means you're barred from the casino. It's from now on.
Is that why you called me up here?
Yeah, I got a little advice for you, baby. You better hit the road. The town's no good for you no more.
If I want advice, I'll go to a lawyer.
Well, you can save yourself the time. I'm giving it to you now. For nothing. I'm going to treat you right, Irene. Yeah, here's a set of railroad tickets with a little expense dough. Vacation's on me.
Well, that's a funny way to look at it, Sam. I'm making money for you, bringing in the suckers, doing my job.
That's got nothing to do with it.
What is it, then?
Think a lot of my kid brother, Irene.
What's Joe got to do with this?
Plenty. He's a sucker for dames.
Listen, you...
Ah, shut up. I'm telling you, he's a sucker for dames. Had to get him out of one spot before, and I'm not going to let it happen again. You or anybody else.
He's old enough to know his own mind. Where do you get off telling me how to run my personal life?
Like I said, baby, the town's no good for you no more. You're taking the train tomorrow.
What does Joe think of it?
He likes it okay now that I explained it to him.
Now listen, Sam, get this through your thick head. I love the guy. I'm on the square.
Ah, well, forget it. He doesn't love you.
You've got a lot of crust, Sam Baxter. I'm going to see what Joe has to say about this.
Wait a minute. Don't be surprised if Joe acts like he's cooled off a little. He's done a little thinking this afternoon. And it'll remind him of a couple of things.
Like what?
Another dame like you. Stuffing his hair with one hand and counting his dough with the other.
Why, you low-down, cheap, double-crossing...
Watch it, baby. I don't take that from nobody. Now, go on. Go on over and see him. He'll tell you where to get off.
You might be surprised.
And, Irene...
Yeah?
You forgot something. Your train tickets.
You can keep them.
Better take them, baby. Vacation might even be good for your health.
Yes, Irene, Sam hates you. As you leave the casino and walk toward Joe's apartment, the cool night air clears your head, and you realize how afraid you really are. How easy it would be for a man with Sam's power to snuff you out like a candle. Joe is alone in his apartment when you arrive. And the minute you see his face, you know Sam has put the fear into him, too.
Joe. Joe, darling, what's the answer?
I don't know, Irene.
I'm not going to leave you, Joe, not now. Nobody's big enough to separate us, not ever.
Irene, darling, I...
Oh, I love you, Joe. I love you so much it makes me sick inside. Hold me, darling, hold me close. Nobody's ever going to keep us apart.
Irene...
Connecticut.
Irene, you don't know Sam. He's too big for us. He gets what he wants. There are guys working for him clear across the country.
He can't be everywhere. We'll leave the country, anything, so long as we're together.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's no other way, so If you stay here, he'll make a mug out of you, turn you into a criminal. You'll spend the rest of your life dodging the police and on the spur on the lam all the time. That's no way to live. Oh, we've got to try, Joe. We've got to try. Joe. Whose gun is this on the table?
It's mine, Irene.
You see, he's got you carrying a gun already. Oh, Joe, if you love him, you've got to do it now. Here. Here, Joe, sit down.
What are you...
Please.
All right.
Here's a pen, paper. Go ahead, Joe. I want you to write a note for me. There.
But Irene,
please,
you...
Please. Say this. Dear Sam.
Okay.
Dear Sam, I've thought it over, and I've decided I can't go on like this. So I'm taking the only way out. Irene and I are in love.
I can't do it, Irene.
Why not?
Not now. This isn't the time for it, baby.
Well, what do you mean?
Look, you go ahead like Sam says, see? I got some things to clear up here. I can meet you later somewhere in a couple of months.
Oh, wait a minute, Joe. Just a minute. You love me, don't you?
Oh, it's not that, but like I said, there are a couple of things.
You're lying to me, Joe.
Listen, Irene.
That's what Sam was talking about.
No, you got it all wrong.
That's what he meant, isn't it? You're different now. Sure, I don't count anymore. Forget Irene. There are plenty of other women around. Just listen to brother Sam. He's the big boy. He's the only one who counts. Everything's great till Sam gives the word, then you sell me out for a dime. It's always been like that, hasn't it, Joe? Hasn't it? And I've been too blind to see it.
Oh, now, wait a
All
minute,
right,
baby.
So
you've got to...
Sam. So it is another day, money, anything, I don't know. You never loved me. You just lied to me.
Oh, stop it.
Get
I
away
mean,
from
I...
me. All right, Joe. All right. Have it your way.
Irene, put on that gun.
I'll get out of here. I'll do what the boss wants. It doesn't matter anymore.
No, wait a minute, Irene.
And it's decided once and for all. Joe will stay and you will go. That's all you can think of at first. After the awful finality of the thing that you did begins to sink in. It happened so quickly, Irene. First his fumbling excuses, then the doubt. A few seconds later, the blinding flash of hysteria. The gun in your hand. The shot. And Joe lying at your feet, still and silent. Then you start out of the apartment, and your eye falls on the note on the desk.
Dear Sam, I thought it over carefully, and I've decided I can't go on like this. I'm taking the only way out. Irene and I are in love. Why, sounds like a suicide note.
Yeah, like a suicide note. Quickly, you pick up the gun. Wipe the fingerprints off of it with your handkerchief. Press it into Joe's limp hand and let it fall to the floor again. The handkerchief again now. On the doorknob. The fountain pen. Everything you touch. Then quickly out of the apartment. Into the service elevator. Through the alleyway and into the street. You remember now with immense relief that the night clerk was asleep when you came in. That no one saw you leave. A half hour later, you walk into your apartment house. The clerk looks up as you enter.
Now, Mr. Carney, you have a visitor waiting upstairs.
What? You didn't let him into my room.
Oh, it's a man. It isn't a man, miss. It's a young lady, an old friend of yours. She didn't leave her name.
Who's here? Who? Oh, Mitzi.
Hello, Irene.
I thought you were in Las Vegas.
Nobody stays in Las Vegas forever.
Just passing through?
I don't know. Might stay a while. You seem to be doing all right, darling. Nice place you got here. Nothing like a job with Sam Baxter, is it? Why you say that?
Take it easy, baby. I'm not going to bite you.
Something wrong?
What are you doing here, Missy?
Just looking up an old friend. You know, if this was Las Vegas and I was you, you know what I'd do?
Missy, I'm sorry, honey. I'm just not in the mood.
I'd offer me a drink. How about it?
All right. All right. What'll it be, ginger ale or soda?
Ginger ale, thanks. I dropped in on Sam back this afternoon.
Oh?
He tells me you're taking yourself a vacation.
He talks about it.
Good idea. You need one.
Think so?
I know a case of shakes when I see one, and baby, you got 'em. Sam got anything to do with it?
No. Sam has nothing to do with it. Here's your drink.
Thanks. Here's to you, darling. Oh, I forgot to tell you I'm staying here tonight.
Oh, now listen, Missy.
Not another word, darling. No trouble at all. I'll sleep on the couch. You'll never know I'm here.
You can get a room at the hotel.
They're all fixed up. I checked them an hour ago. Just be for tonight, so don't worry your little head.
Missy, darling, I want to be alone tonight. I don't feel well.
What is that, Missy? Get liquor down the front of your desk.
Oh. Wipe that off of the handkerchief. Put my handkerchief right here. My handkerchief. Where is it? I love my handkerchief.
Here, use mine. What's the matter with you, Irene? You look like a ghost.
Nothing. It's just a nice handkerchief with my initials on it.
Forget it. I'll buy you one tomorrow. Better let me put you to bed, baby. You got yourself a case of nerves.
Well, Irene, what about your handkerchief? As you lie in bed, you try and tell yourself you must have dropped it on the street. But the chances are against anyone finding it where it would do you harm. But every time you close your eyes, you see it lying on the floor of Joe's apartment, where Sam is sure to find it. It seems like hours later when the phone bell cut through the darkness like a knife.
Yes? Irene?
Yes?
Sam Baxter, Irene. I hate to wake you up like this, 2 o'clock in the morning and everything.
What do you want?
I'm up at Joe's apartment. I got pretty worried when he didn't answer his phone.
Why are you calling me?
You know I am calling you, baby.
Oh, listen, Sam, I'm sleepy. I don't want to play games.
I always told Joe a dame was going to get him sooner or later. Why'd you have to do it to him, baby? The beef was with me.
Do what to him?
Kill him.
Kill him? But Sam, you're kidding.
You know, I could almost believe you if I didn't know you better.
But tell me, what's this all about?
I mean, someone shot Joe tonight with his own gun.
Joe dead?
Oh, baby, you're great. You're terrific. You ought to be on the stage. Yeah, he's dead. There's a suicide note in his desk. In his own handwriting. Everything's ready for the cops. Wasn't my kid brother, I'd call it a wonderful job.
Listen, Sam, I had nothing to do.
You were going to see him tonight?
Well, I called it off. I told him later.
I'll give it to you straight, Irene. I think you killed him. I ain't sure yet, but I got ways of finding out. If I'm right, you won't have to worry about the police.
Listen, Sam.
You listen. You won't have to worry about the police because I'm going to let them think Joe committed suicide. So I can take care of you myself. Might happen in a taxi. Maybe in a crowd, on a street corner, maybe even in bed some night when you're asleep. You won't have to worry because you'll never know what hit you. Get it?
Sam, please listen to me.
That's all, Irene. So long.
All you can think of is the lost handkerchief. And what will happen if Sam finds it? You're wondering now, imagining things, fighting the desire to run. And then you discover you're cold and walk to the closet for your robe. As you throw it around your shoulders, your eye falls on something white, sticking out of the lining of the fur coat you wore tonight. Just below the right pocket.
Handkerchief. You're in my coat all the time.
You take one look at the blood stain on the corner and decide to burn it right now. Quickly, through the side door into the kitchen. You touch a match to some papers in the incinerator and throw the handkerchief into the blaze. And gradually feel better as you watch it go up in smoke, and then a door closes in the other room, and you remember.
Nick.
She's still asleep on the couch. Or is she? You wonder how she could have slept through that ringing phone. If he was watching you as you burned the handkerchief.
Wake up, Irene. Irene, it's 9:30.
No.
Irene.
Oh, yes, Missy.
Getting late, darling. Gonna have breakfast?
Oh, Gordon, if you leave me alone. Get yourself some breakfast in the kitchen and run along like a nice kid, will you?
What about you?
I don't want any breakfast. I don't want any. I'm going out.
You sit in the coffee shop now, trying to choke down a piece of toast, with a morning paper in front of you, carrying a small article at the bottom of page one, on the suicide of Joseph Baxter. That's all. 4 or 5 lines. Just another suicide. Nothing more. But over and over again, inside your mind, you hear something else playing like a phonograph record.
Maybe in a taxi. Maybe in a crowd on a street corner. Maybe some night when you're asleep in bed.
Maybe and you know how short your time really is. That perhaps right now he's making up his mind how it's going to happen. You know now you're going to have to run for it, Irene. No matter how useless it might seem to try to run from Sam Baxter, it's your only chance now.
Why, yes, miss. Of course we can dye that blonde hair any color you want it. It just seems a shame.
Black. I want it black.
And we'll change the arch of your eyebrows like this?
That ought to do it. Go ahead now and hurry.
Oh, why, yes, we can fit you through a pair of horn-rimmed glasses. Your eyes are in pretty good shape, though, and I'd hardly...
I'm buying them. Go on, make them up. I want a pair of spike heels.
Oh, hi, miss. They run all the way up to 4 inches. That'd add a couple of inches to your height. Not so good if you got a short boyfriend.
I'll take a pair. Size 5 1/2. And never mind the boyfriend.
I hope you don't mind my sitting next to you, miss. It's nice to have someone to talk to. Of course, I have my knitting, but even at that, it's a long trip. How far are you going?
Montreal.
Montreal. My, that must be a lovely city. Regular piece of France, they say. Just cross the border. This your first trip?
Yes, it's my first trip.
Well, isn't that nice? Well, we stop up here at Hanford for a minute, and then we'll begin to get some real nice scenery. Then there's a tunnel just beyond there, and then we get into the mountains.
Please, if you don't mind.
Say, is that a friend of yours up there?
No, I don't have any friends.
Well, isn't that funny? She turned and looked at you just as if she'd...
What did you say?
Well, that girl crossed the car a few seats ahead. The one with the yellow hat.
Let's see.
Yes, Irene. Mitzi is sitting up there on the other side of the car. Just a few seats ahead. It's clear now. Yes. He saw you burn that handkerchief, of course. You realize how stupid you've been. How it never entered your head that Sam would use Mitzi to put the finger on you. Las Vegas, Reno, Tijuana. It comes back to you now. Mitzi and Sam together most of the time. Perhaps even in love with each other. And that's why she came to your apartment last night. Sam sent her there. And that's why she's here now.
Might happen in a taxi, on a crowded street. Maybe even some night when you're asleep. Might happen.
Where are we?
Hanford, it only stopped for a minute.
Excuse me.
Oh, no time to get
Please
off.
Please let me out.
Well, I never. I thought you was going to Montreal.
You still have a chance, Irene. Mitzi's not sure of you yet, thanks to the disguise. You move down the aisle to the car exit with the commuters, start down the steps, and in one glance you realize how hopeless it all is. There on the station platform, carefully watching each passenger get off, is a big hulking man with a telltale bulge of a shoulder holster under his left arm. You turn back into the car just in time, sick with fear, knowing now that Sam was right. There's no running away.
Oh, you come back. I thought you were...
I just went back there for a little while.
Oh, it does get mighty stuffy in these cars. Sometimes you can smell that smoke a clean way back to the observation. What's the matter?
Oh, I see what you're looking at.
Now, what do you suppose that tough-looking fella's doing up there?
I don't know.
Maybe one of them survey fellas asking questions. Looks like that's what he's doing with those folks up front.
How do we get to that tunnel?
What's that?
The tunnel you told me about. Where is it?
Oh, that's about a half mile beyond Hanford. We ought to hit it in a minute now. Well, I wonder what that fella's up to. Next he'll ask me what brand of prunes I'm using.
Well, Irene, you're praying now that the train will plunge into the blackness of the tunnel before the same man you saw on the platform, reaches your seat. He's moving closer now, almost to Mitzi, stopping at each seat to look carefully at its occupants, then moving backward in the car, closer, and then... The train hits the tunnel, and in that precious moment of darkness, you struggle out of your seat and back into the next car. The train leaves the tunnel and it's light again. You hurry down the aisle toward the end of the train in the observation car. The sound of steps behind you makes you turn. It's Mitzi, Irene. She's following you. You're almost running now. It doesn't matter what the passengers think anymore. As you run through the observation car toward the rear platform, you see her come in the other end. And you know it's up to you now. It's your life or hers. You slam the door. Stand behind it. Open your purse and take out the little .32 automatic you hoped you wouldn't need.
All right, Mitzi.
She slumps to the floor. And you turn toward the railing. The train's moving too fast. But you're going to have to jump anyway.
Wait a minute, baby.
Let go.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't jump on a train today.
As of right now, baby, you're all washed up.
Well, Irene, there's no use fighting anymore now. It's all over, and Sam Baxter is won. Suddenly, you're weak and dizzy. The sky turns a thickish green, and the floor gives way underneath your feet. When you open your eyes, you find you're up forward in one of the coaches. The train has stopped near a crossing, and some men in white uniforms are carrying Mitzi into an ambulance. You try to lift your hand to your head and discover you can't.
It's a handcuff, baby.
Handcuff? Why? Oh.
New York police, homicide detail, the name's Stone.
Police? Oh. You know all about it.
I couldn't miss it. Everyone in the car saw it through that window onto the back platform.
No, I mean about Joe.
Joe who?
Wait a minute. Why did you come onto this train?
Why did you follow me?
We weren't following you, lady. We were following that dame you knocked off, Mitzi Rogers. And I'm afraid it's going to go pretty tough on you. She'll murder, you know.
What are you talking about?
Mitzi was wanted for the murder of her ex-boyfriend at his office this afternoon.
Who was it?
Oh, a guy that was giving her the runaround. Gambler by the name of Sam Baxter.
Come on, get up on that camel, Junior.
Okay, where do I sit?
In that rumble seat, I'm going to steer.
We're off on the road to Morocco. This taxi is tough on the spine. Where we're going, why we're going, we'll know by and by. But we'll meet Jenny Sims, or we'll know the reason why.
Yahoo!
We're off on the road to Morocco.
What's your tempo?
Hang on till the end of the line. I hear this country's where they do the dance of the seven veils.
We'd tell you more, but we would have the censor on our tails.
We certainly do get around. Like Webster's Dictionary, we're Morocco bound. We're off on the road to Morocco.
Look out!
Well, clear the way, cause here we come.
The many fires sleep on nails and saw their wives in hand.
Seems to me there should be easier ways to get a laugh.
We're off on the road to Morocco. And somewhere I feel kind of numb.
For any villains we might meet, we haven't any fears.
Paramount will protect us cause we're signed for 5 more years.
We certainly do get around.
Like a complete set of Shakespeare that you buy in the corner drugstore for $1.98.
We're Morocco bound.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.